Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our gospel reading today tells us that when Jesus began his public ministry here on earth, he did so with this announcement: "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God has come near." With the coming of Jesus, we are now living in what the Bible repeatedly calls the end times, or the last days. These are the last days because the time is fulfilled. What God had planned from the beginning of the world has already been accomplished through Jesus. Jesus, the very Son of God, was born among us. He lived here in our world. He shared in our life. He also shared in our death. And more than that, he actually died our death for us. And he conquered death. God raised Jesus from the dead and received Jesus back into heaven as Lord and King of the whole universe. And as Jesus commanded his disciples, repentance and forgiveness of sins have been preached in his name throughout the whole world. And that preaching has reached us. We have been given the opportunity and also the grace from God to repent of our sins and to believe in the gospel, as Jesus calls us to do. And that faith has brought us under the good and gracious rule of Jesus in his kingdom. That grace of God has made us citizens of God's kingdom. And now for us, that means that things are different now. Now that Jesus has broken into our existence with the gospel message of his forgiving love and of his rule in our hearts and lives through the gospel, our life can never be viewed in quite the same way again. We now follow Christ with our eyes on that eternal goal of the unending joy that is in store for us at God's right hand in heaven. We have our eyes on that goal throughout our whole lifetimes here on this earth. And in the meantime, before we reach that eternal goal, our lives on this earth are dedicated to the mission that Jesus has given to us of sharing the joys of this good news wherever and whenever possible. Yes, things are different now for us. Things were also different for two Galilean fishermen named Simon, or Peter, and Andrew. In our reading, the gospel reading, we hear that Jesus said to them, "Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And things were also different for two other Galilean fishermen named James and John, the sons of a man named Zebedee. We read in the gospel reading for today that Jesus called them. They left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. And things could never be the same for them again. Yes, occasionally they would return to their boats and try their hands again at the fishing trade that they had learned from their youth. We read about that shortly before Jesus calmed a storm for them and called Peter to walk out on the water. We read that they were fishing again shortly after Jesus had risen from the dead, when Jesus made another appearance to them on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. But their trade as fishermen was no longer the same as it had been before Jesus called them to his service. Fishing was no longer their major business or their life's occupation or vocation. Fishing just didn't have the central importance for them in their lives that it used to have. The things that used to be so important to them in their lives that made them sad or happy had been replaced by other more significant concerns, more far-reaching and eternal concerns. Things that would give them true joy or make them weep and sorrow. Even family ties and relationships did not bind them as closely anymore. James and John, we see, could leave their father Zebedee in his boat and embrace a whole new world of people as their new family. Not only people to reach as targets of the gospel, of that new kind of fishing for men, but people that they would consider as brothers and sisters through a common faith in Jesus as Savior. At that point, for them, things were very different. Time had a new slant on it, and so did everything else in their lives. Jesus had said that when he called them, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God has come near." And in our sermon text for today, the Apostle Paul says something similar. He says, "The time is short. In the time that remains for us on this earth, things are different. Our attitude toward this life is not the same as the attitude of people who think that they are here to stay, but rather our attitude is that of people who are on a mission. We live our lives not looking back towards the past, but looking forward toward what God has prepared for us in the future." It is this attitude toward life that the Apostle Paul is speaking about here in our sermon text. An attitude that recognizes that since we have come to faith in Jesus Christ, things are different now for us. The way of life that belongs to this world is passing away. That means that we should not get so involved in the way of life that belongs to this world that we lose sight of the world that is to come, the eternal life that God has prepared for us in heaven. Like the four fishermen that we read about in today's gospel, we are to live our lives as people who have been redeemed from the way of life that belongs to this world, since we have been called to follow Jesus on his mission toward his goal for us of a bright, eternal future in everlasting life. Yes, things are different now for us. And one example of that that the Apostle Paul gives in our reading is in regards to marriage and family. He writes, "From now on, let those who have wives live as if they have none." Now that might strike our ears as rather strange, but it's important for us to realize what Paul is talking about and what he is not talking about. He is not saying that all of us who are married should go out and get divorces from our spouses. Actually, the Apostle Paul spends a lot of the whole chapter of 1 Corinthians chapter 7 saying just the opposite, saying that marriage is a gift from God and that God wants us to appreciate it and to cherish it as the blessing from him that it is. And St. Paul says that also being single is a gift from God, if that is the particular gift that God has given to you. And so in the words of our reading today, the Apostle Paul is not trying to undo marriage, but rather he is trying to undo what we might perhaps call an overly romantic view of marriage. The idea that finding love and getting married and living happily ever after together as a couple is the meaning of life. That's what life is all about. That if you have love, nothing else in life really matters. But God's word tells us that marriage is not an end in itself, but rather it's a means to an end. Jesus says, "The kingdom of God has come near." And the way to remain in and be a part of God's kingdom is to repent and believe the good news. As St. Paul points out over and over again in his writings, and here in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, the Christian family is to be one of the venues in which we live out this new life in faith in Jesus, to which God has called us through the gospel. The family is the place where we first become fishers of men. Our first and closest fishing pond for spreading the Christian message and the gospel of Jesus is our own immediate family. In this chapter, the Apostle Paul tells Christians who may have a spouse who is not yet a believer in Jesus, that Christian spouse should not divorce the unbelieving spouse just because they do not share the same faith. Rather, the Apostle Paul says that Christian spouses should try to bring their unbelieving spouse to faith in Jesus. And certainly, the Christian spouses who share the same faith will want to encourage each other and to strengthen each other in faith in Jesus. Encourage each other to stay in that faith and to grow in faith together. So we see that marriage is not an end in itself, but rather it is a means to God's end. That we live together in repentance and in faith as children of God and as citizens together of God's kingdom of grace. Things are different now. Since Jesus will return on Judgment Day and he says that his return is coming very soon, things are different now. Even marriage is different from the way the world views it. And there are other things in life which affect us deeply, things that bring us joy and sorrow. Paul writes, "Let those who weep live as if not weeping, those who rejoice as if not rejoicing." Things are different now that Jesus has come into our lives. The things that bring us joy, whether it be a beautiful sunset, a happy day, an unexpected surprise, or perhaps a clean bill of health after a doctor's visit, all those things are God's gifts to us to enjoy. But again, those things are not ends in themselves. We do not exist in God's kingdom merely in order to be happy from day to day, but rather to come to know the fullness of joy that is ours as members of Jesus' kingdom. Joy that will be fulfilled in all its glory when we are with the Lord forever in heaven. And likewise, the things that make us sad in this life, whether it just be a bad day or perhaps an unexpected reversal in our lives, sickness, even the grief of death itself, those things are not to crush us so far as to drive us to despair of all hope, as though our lives were not worth living anymore because of that sorrow. Rather, for us as believers in Jesus, things are different now. As the Apostle Paul writes elsewhere in Romans chapter 8, "In all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loves us." The prophet Jonah, whom we read about in our first lesson for today, was a man who had to learn this lesson of joy and sadness the hard way. He was so wrapped up in himself and in what he wanted for his life that he shed bitter tears over a plant that God had caused to grow to give him shade in the heat of the day, as Jonah was sitting on the outskirts of the city of Nineveh, watching and waiting for God to rain down fire from heaven to destroy that city. But to teach Jonah a lesson, God caused that plant to wither and die in the hot sun so that Jonah would once again feel the burning heat of the sun on his head and shoulders. God did this so that Jonah would see that he should not have joy in anticipating God's impending judgment and destruction on a city full of hundreds of thousands of people, but rather he should rejoice in God's mercy to those people, that God forgave their sins and spared them that destruction. That prophet, Jonah, whom we perhaps know best as the one who was swallowed by a fish and then spit back out again safe on dry land, he had to learn to swallow his own pride and to see his real goal in life as being a fisher of men in service to God. Worldly grief, just like worldly joy, is not forever, but it is part of the way of life that belongs to this world, which is passing away. The purpose of both worldly grief and joy is to keep our eyes fixed on the greater joy that awaits us when Jesus calls us to his side in heaven and wipes away all tears from our eyes. Our attitude toward family relationships and toward the joy and sorrows of this world, St. Paul says, should also be our attitude toward money and possessions. He writes, "Let those who buy live as if not possessing, and those who use the world as if not getting any use out of it." It is probably an evaluation that needs to be made. For if marriage is a goal toward which people strive as though it were the ultimate end and goal in life, and if happiness is a similar goal that people strive for, then getting ahead in the world and being successful, making a living, is also for very many people in this world just such a life goal, an end in itself, rather than a means to an end. Jesus himself illustrated this point when he told a parable about a rich man who was so intent on becoming financially successful that he looked at the bumper crop that he was having that year and decided that he would tear down his old barns and build bigger ones that could hold all of the massive crop that he was reaping that year. But in that parable, God says to him, "You fool, this very night your soul will be demanded of you." And so we see that making a living, making a success of our life, is not to be our goal in this life. That's what Jesus taught his disciples in this parable when he said, "Take heed and beware of all covetousness and greed, for a man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." Those four fishermen at the Sea of Galilee that we heard about in our gospel reading today were to leave their fishing nets when the Savior called them. They were to have a higher view of life, a higher view than just trying to amass an abundance of possessions and wealth for themselves. Things are different now. One of those fishermen, St. John, later wrote in his first epistle, "Do not love the world or the things of this world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not from the Father, but from the world. And the world, in its present form, is passing away. But he who does the will of the Father will live forever." The point of all of this is simply to say that with the coming of Jesus Christ and his saving work of living a perfect life in our place and dying in our place on the cross to forgive our sins and rising from the dead to show that all of his work of saving and forgiving us is perfectly completed, now for us, things are different. The way of life that belongs to this world is passing away. The old goals of this life no longer apply, because heaven is our true home. Things are different now. Business and commerce, marriage and family, joy and sorrow, all these are to be viewed in a new light. Disciples of Jesus, whether living in the first century AD or now in the 21st century, disciples of Jesus who have been given the grace to repent and to believe the good news, we now have a new goal in life. We have a mission from God to live as fishers of men, seeking the lost and strengthening fellow Christians in saving faith during this short time that remains before God calls us to his side in heaven. And so God wants us to have such a loose hold on the things of this world, the way of this life that is passing away, so that we keep an even firmer hold on the things of eternal life, where his grace is leading us. And so let's live with our eyes on that eternal focus, fulfilling his mission and reaching out to those around us with the saving message of his love. Amen.